Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Imago, the Institute for Christian Studies, Ryerson University, and TIFF, the Toronto International Film Festival, have teamed up to sponsor and present Opening Frames, Cinema and Transcendence, a two-day conference which hopes to, quote, open a conversation on the film and transcendent religious spiritual, end quote, by probing the space between the sacred and the secular. With us on the phone tonight from her office in Toronto is Rebecca Smick from the Institute for Christian Studies. She's a professor of arts and culture and one of the members of the Opening Frames Planning Committee. But before we get to our interview, let's listen to Chim Chim Cheree from Try to Remember CD by the Mike Jansen Trio.
Chim Chimini, Chim Chimini, Chim Chim Cheree. The sweep is as lucky can be. Chim Chimini, Chim Chimini, Chim Chim Cheree. Good luck will rub off when I shakes hands with you. Or blow me a kiss now, that's lucky. Has been strung, may think a sweep's on the bottom most rung. I spends me time in the ashes and smoke. In this whole wide world, there's no happier bloke. Up where the smoke is all billowed and curled, between pavement and stars, it's a chimney sweep world. There's hardly no day and there's hardly no night. This thing's half in shadow and halfway in light. On the rooftops of London,
now to our conversation with Rebecca Smick. Good evening, Rebecca.
Hi, nice to be here.
Yeah. Well, before we get into some of the details about the conference itself, can we give our listeners a little bit of background about yourself and about the Institute for Christian Studies? So I guess first off, what is the Institute for Christian Studies for those who may not have heard about it before?
The Institute for Christian Studies is a cross-disciplinary institute of philosophy that comes out of the Christian Reformed tradition, based on the works of a continental Dutch philosopher in the 19th century, who was really convinced that even though we do a certain kind of scholarly work, it's going to be informed by our faith commitments. And so reformational tradition, as it's called, carries on that mandate, more or less, that we look and take seriously our faith commitments as we do our scholarly work in philosophy. So cross-disciplinary in the sense that we have quite a number of different kinds of philosophy being taken up at the Institute, social philosophy, philosophy of education, in my case, the philosophy of art and culture.
Mm-hmm.
And that ties us together, thinking through how our faith commitments are going to have an effect on our scholarly work.
And so this would be something that, say, a post-grad university student would be looking at going to in pursuing further studies in their area of interest.
That's correct. So we're affiliated with the Toronto School of Theology, and we offer degrees. We have a Master of Worldview Studies, and we have an academic MA and an academic PhD that we offer.
Now, your particular discipline, as you said, is the philosophy of arts and culture. What led you to that particular discipline?
In my case, it's a longer story than for most. I started out in art history, but I very quickly became interested in the moment when a very substantial critical literature around the arts grew up, around the visual arts grew up during the Renaissance period. So I began to specialize on that literature, which ultimately led in the 18th century to a separate discipline in philosophy devoted to our aesthetic experience, the experience that we have and the knowledge we gain through our sight and our hearing, etc., our senses as opposed to our intellect.
Now, I suspect some people would see philosophy and arts and culture as something that really don't mix together that well. How does that work within what you're doing as a professor?
So philosophy, well, I would have to say that in my field, as you see it unfold, philosophy and art have had a tremendous amount. The art tradition, as we understand it, has unfolded in consonance with our philosophy traditions. So even though we may feel like to over-intellectualize art might do it a disservice, the whole branch of philosophy around precisely the kinds of things that are ineffable that we can't put words on, that's a kind of knowledge as well, and we may theorize about it, but it's pretty endemic to how we understand art to function.
Right. Well, I guess when some people look at art as both a mirror of culture or as a reflection of culture or as a commentary on culture, and if there's a stream of philosophy that's growing within culture, I'm assuming that art often reflects what is happening within the culture and within the philosophy.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I think it's very there's a sort of a branch, you might say, of an anthropological turn in aesthetics that has been trying to get back at sort of what we might talk about as universals pertinent to the human experience of image, that would be that might supersede culture. But I think when you look at the way art has developed in the Western tradition, it's almost impossible to arrive there.
And I think a lot of people who are interested in this area have come across some of the teachings of and writings of one of your colleagues at ICS, which is Dr. Calvin Seerveld.
Right.
And I've read some of his works as well. So now, how did you, turning to our topic at hand, how, as part of ICS and in your field of studying that, how did this lead to your involvement with Opening Frames?
Well, Opening Frames is a collaborative effort between the Department of Philosophy at Ryerson University, between Imago, which is a Christian Arts Association, also TIFF, the Toronto International Film Festival organization, and then ICS. We came together around the desire to talk about film in a kind of post-secular mode. What does it mean to think about art coming away from this division between sort of religion and secularity that has defined how we understand our own modern existence, and to think. So that was the sort of the kernel for wanting to put together looking at film that re-envisions or reimagines the transcendent in contemporary society.
Well, and how did you yourself get involved?
With my colleague Ron Kuipers, who is the director of our Center for Philosophy, Religion, and Social Ethics, every year we put on what's called Art Talks, and so this was going to be our Art Talks event for this year, and we've been working on it for some time in collaboration with these other organizations in Toronto.
Right. Well, I want to get into some details about what's happening with Opening Frames and some of the people that are going to be involved. But before we do that, I want to take a quick break, and then we're going to continue our conversation with ICS Professor Rebecca Smick and the opening about the Opening Frames Cinema and Transcendence Conference. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Bring Him Home from the Mike Janssen Trio's CD Try to Remember, which is a collection of Broadway and movie musical songs. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Rebecca Smick, member of the Opening Frames Cinema and Transcendence Conference. You talked a little bit about how the conference sort of arose in that, but why this look at the connection between film and the whole aspect of religious and the transcendent and the spiritual?
I think what I started to say before and would lead into your question, one important aspect of this particular event for us is that we really want it to be sort of a new conversation around the transcendent, how modernity comes into, you know, in a secular society where we feel like we've been kind of cut off from really entertaining the transcendent. Our very title, Opening Frames, is kind of a play mm-hmm. on Charles Taylor's own play on what was this, an image that comes from Max Weber around the cage of modernity, that we're kind of closed in the imminent, in this worldliness, unable to really entertain the transcendent for a variety of reasons, which Taylor unpacks in his very large book, The Secular Age. But he's really hoping, Taylor's hoping, to recognize the place and character of religion in modernity. And by talking about frames as opposed to cages, he's sort of opening up new possibilities for the transcendent, saying that we recognize that we're enframed in this way, but we can think about the spiritual in new ways. So our hope in using that image was to really convey a sense that we're perhaps now living in a post-secular age, more open to getting beyond the culture wars between religion and secularity, to get to new spaces for discussion of religion that are not dominated by the religious or the non-religious, but a communal effort kind of based on our basic human mm-hmm. yearning for the transcendent.
Well, I'm seeing some parallels in our conversation in trying to set this interview up. I was talking to John Franklin from Imago, and then yourself, and you were both involved with the Mystical Landscapes exhibit, which looked at that whole aspect of the spiritual and the transcendent in some of the works of the great artists like Van Gogh and people like that. Is this similar to what you're trying to do now in the world of film?
Yes, I mean it is certainly similar, and our keynote speaker Paul Schrader, who is a very famous both screenplay writer and also mm-hmm. director of films. He wrote screenplays for Martin Scorsese, Taxi Driver, and Raging Bull, The Last Temptation of Christ, etc., and then has directed his own his own films. But he wrote a book some time ago called The Transcendental Style in Film, where he takes up precisely the capacity of film to offer some kind of glimpse of the transcendent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that he firmly believes is possible. And he thinks he really comes at it from a cross-cultural, even attempting a universal perspective around cinematic techniques for expressing the transcendent. So this would be common to the mystical landscapes idea,
mm-hmm.
was very important at the end of the 19th century for new sacred forms in art that would give up perhaps the old sacred forms that had grown up in the context of organized religion, but brought about a modern sort of language
mm-hmm.
and mode for dealing with, formal modes for dealing with how the transcendent might be experienced aesthetically.
And this is going beyond just the script element and the themes within scripts, but also within the filmmaking process itself.
Yeah, absolutely. He makes a very very considered formal analysis of the films of Robert Bresson and Yasujiro Ozu and Carl Dreyer, where he really sees certain cinematic techniques as capable of expressing the transcendent. That's what he's going to be talking about. So that's he's our keynote,
mm-hmm.
And the other parts of the conference that accompany this keynote address at TIFF, go from there. This is their kind of starting point.
Right. So, what are some of you've mentioned Paul Schrader? Who are some of the other people that are taking part in this as workshop leaders and speakers?
A panel discussion that's going to be happening prior to Paul Schrader's lecture in the evening on the 3rd of April. And it includes a couple of young filmmakers, Sherian Barsoom and Hugh Gibson, and along with University of Toronto philosopher Mark Kingwell, who's a social philosopher, and a clergyman, Paul Johansson. They're a mixed group in terms of their ostensible religious commitments, but they're engaged in this yearning for something beyond, so they will be led in a discussion by and then after that we'll turn to Paul Schrader's talk in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
The next day includes a series of workshops by a number of academics for whom filmmaking is their specialty. So that will include Mark Kauke from York and John Caruana from Ryerson, as well as Joe Kikasola, who will in fact have led a question and answer period after Schrader's talk the night before, together with Schrader. I forgot to mention that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Catherine Wheatley from King's College at the University of London in England, all of whom have written extensively on filmmaking and religion and spirituality.
Well, what are you hoping that people are going to take away from the conference after they listen to all of this?
I think what I'm hoping is that that whether or not you, whatever your your own commitments in terms of religion are, that this space will be opened where people are addressing in a mutual concern our desire as humans and our yearning as humans for something transcendent. And I think just to keep that conversation going in modernity is quite important, because all the pressures are in the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
So thinking about this as the possibility maybe of a post-secularity or a post-secular moment where we can keep, where we can recognize our spirituality, keep it going, and understand what it means in the modern context. And you know, certainly the arts, for a long time now, certainly maybe since Hegel talked about the arts as one of the modes in which we can come into contact with the absolute, to use his language. The arts have really been considered, you know, this space in which we carry on this conversation around the spiritual.
Now, a lot of this is has been happening. People have been seeing that. I mean, you had Silence, which was had a couple of Oscar nominations recently, and other films, some of the films that Mel Gibson has done, where faith and transcendence are part of that. But is there room in all of this conversation for specific faiths, and I guess for, you know, our audience is the Christian faith, because there seems to be more of a backlash against an expression of the Christian faith within movies than there is just more of a vague transcendent spiritual experience.
Right. I think there are two ways to think about that. One is that the way art has come to be conceived, in a sense, in the modern period, and we don't need to go into when, but I would resist the notion that there's going to be a Christian art per se,
mm-hmm.
Because the way we have conceived art to function is that it is by nature elusive and ambiguous. It will not function successfully as a piece of propaganda, you might say.
Uh-huh.
And so that does open up the possibilities always for for maybe a more general understanding of the mystical, or mystical experience, or the mystery, or the transcendent. At the same time, that doesn't mean that what our basic faith commitments are in terms of our own denomination, our own group, they will have a bearing, no matter how you slice it, on if you're a practicing artist, on what you produce. And mm-hmm. my own work on the Mystical Landscapes exhibition was to look at Protestant mysticism, particularly in the case of Van Gogh, and it's quite clear in all of Van Gogh's correspondence that he made very Protestant decisions about how he understood the transcendent.
Mm-hmm.
So, in fact, it's sort of an inescapable feature of what we will do as artists around our particular faith commitment.
Right. John Franklin and I have had a number of discussions on this whole aspect of the difference between Christian art and art which is Christian.
Yes.
And that. Well, we need to, looking at the time, we need to take one final break. And after that, we're going to come back and finish our conversation with one of the coordinators of Opening Frames, Cinema and Transcendence. Conference is taking place in Toronto. Rebecca Smick. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
The kind of September when you were tender and kind. was so tender that no one wept except the willow.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Try to Remember, the title track from Mike Jansen Trio CD, Try to Remember CD. I'm your host, Robert White. We're going to wrap up our conversation with Rebecca Smick, a member of the Opening Frames Cinema and Transcendence Conference. Give us a little bit of the details on that. When and where is the conference being held?
Okay, so the conference is being held at the TIFF Bell Lightbox at 350 King Street West in Toronto. The date is April 3rd and 4th. Monday from 1 to 4 p.m. there will be a period of registration and then a panel discussion with David Peck, with Hugh Gibson, Sherrian Barsoom, Paul Johansson, and Mark Kingwell. And then in the evening, we will have Paul Schrader at 7 p.m. with Joe Kikasola as the moderator of his talk.
Mm-hmm.
And Tuesday, on April 4th, starting at 10 a.m., ending at 4 p.m., there will be three workshops headed up by the people I mentioned before, Mark Kauke and John Caruana, Joe right. Kikasola and Catherine Wheatley. If you want to register for the conference, you can go to the Institute for Christian Studies website and the Center for Philosophy, Religion, and Social Ethics. You'll find a way to register online there, and you'll come up with some of our advertising. If you would like to just go to hear Paul Schrader, that is also possible, and you can go directly to the TIFF Lightbox website to get a ticket to hear Schrader at 7 p.m. on the 3rd.
Great. Well, Rebecca, thank you very much for your time tonight.
Thanks. Thank you. I've enjoyed it very much.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today, and thank you to my guest, Rebecca Smick. And if you missed a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at artsconnection.ca. Be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@artsconnection.ca. Follow us on Twitter at @SayLaw13. Look for the Arts Connection page on Facebook or check out the Arts Connection blog at blog.artsconnection.ca. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.